Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A sports news update for Club Tokemwal, Australia's premier Murray River golfing destination, with two top 40 golf courses. Talk to the Golf Package team today.
The best in the business, SEN's chief reporter, thanks to Club Tokemwal and the Murray, your next golfing holiday. Sammy, good morning.
Kane, Bucks, great to be with you. What a start. To think the two grand final sides could be zip and two. Hey, we've got two teams having a bye this weekend when after the comps only played one match. And record crowd for a single round, 413,405 through the gates in round one, the biggest round in the history of the game. So maybe a bit of FOMO kicking in for those sets of supporters who miss out on opening round.
Yeah, but it was a big round one, no doubt about it. And as always, the MRO is a big talking point.
No, well, it was always going to be fascinating, Kane, the moment that Mason Redmond clashed with John Newcombe at the MCG. Now, he's been offered a one-match ban for that incident that was assessed as intentional, low impact and high contact. Now, the flaky explanation that justifies the difference between George Hewitt getting off for punching Lachie Neal and Mason Redmond getting a week, in the AFL's view, is that Hewitt was at the contest. Now, they had a couple of goes at this, the AFL. One of the excuses was that the contact slipped high from George Hewitt. The other one was that it was quite unquote, at the contest and therefore deemed careless. Redmond's off the ball and therefore intentional. Geez, at the risk of repeating myself, George Hewitt incredibly lucky to have gotten off that, given it's a dead ball situation. They're waiting for a ball up. So Essendon, as we sit here this morning, giving some consideration to challenging this one. On the face of it, it's going to be hard to escape, but when you go back to only opening round with George Hewitt, maybe they've got a case.
Oh, I see it the other way, Sammy. I don't think Hewitt was lucky. I just think that Redmond is unlucky. I don't think that they're part of a concussion issue, even though there's, you know, contact to high contact. But Redmond's arm actually deflects off Newcomb's shoulder as well. So I don't think you can say it's intentional that he's struck him high.
Yeah, well, when it's off the ball, it inevitably is. And the AFL has changed the tribunal rules in this space. We've reported this many times, but they do state now that when a player intends to, and I'm quoting them here, forcefully push or fend an opposition player off the ball, and the effect is that that player strikes their opponent, then the strike will usually be graded as intentional rather than careless. So that's the way the rule is written, and that's why George Hewitt, I think, was very fortunate to have escaped. Because did he mean to get him in the head? Maybe not, but he did strike him at the end of the day, didn't he, Buck? So, look, we can debate the MRO until the cows come home, but I wonder whether Essendon will give thought to challenging that. And then we've got James Sicily, the kick on Andy McGrath, who you had on earlier. Look, the victim in this situation is generally going to play it down under the player code. We clearly don't want this in the game, but that was adjudged intentional, of course, but medium impact. So low impact and to the body would have been a fine. So getting it up to medium gives it a week. So another watch there, potentially, whether Hawthorn will challenge that medium grading, albeit kicking is something that's generally, as it should be, greatly frowned upon in the game.
For those that are just joining us, the player who was kicked was with us moments ago, and here's how he saw the incident.
It was pretty innocuous. I think a few of us got into him a little bit after Guelph kicked the first goal on him, and it was just one of those heat of the moment things. I didn't even really realise that he put his foot into the back of me, which sort of suggests how severe the kick was. Not very at all, but I guess they're stamping that out of the game, and we'll see where that lands.
So Hawthorn, you have our permission to use that audio and take it to the tribunal. What's the process now to challenge a finding like this, Sammy? The AFL have made it a bit more expensive now, is it?
Yeah, it is a bit more expensive. Yeah, they don't want as many tribunal cases as they had last year, is cutting a long story short, Kane. So, yeah, it's a bit more expensive to challenge. The avenue is absolutely there, as it's always been for Hawthorn to do so. And that determination will need to be made by about midday today from the Hawks. So we'll watch this space on that.
Medical rooms busy on Monday morning at AFL clubs across the weekend.
Yeah, some heartbreakers over the weekend too. Bookended by Josh Gibkiss, the season-ending ACL. And we hope that Oscar McDonald hasn't suffered in what was a very similar mechanism, wasn't it? And gone down the same path there, given the former Demon, the former Blue, has worked so hard for another chance, hasn't he? He's got it over at Fremantle. Nasty knee injury scans this morning over there on that. And then there's Brennan Cox, who that could be really serious, that hamstring. And certainly listening to Justin Longmuir post-game, they are fearful this could be a long-termer. So scans on that as well. And then that's a defensive problem for Fremantle to work through, as it is for North Melbourne. Anyone who's ruptured an Achilles tendon will know what Josh Goda went through in that loss to GWS. So North, they've got to keep rebuilding this defence on the run there, don't they? Lost Ben McKay to free agency, Griffin Logue rehabbing the ACL, and now the Josh Goda Achilles. They're going to have to keep rebuilding on the run there in that back six.
Some of those young players look good, though. Dawson was good. Pinkwood had a baptism of fire. He got caught out a few times, but I liked their endeavour. Ever. But, yeah, terrible when you see full-season injuries early in the season like that.
Shoegate with Grian Myers, Sammy. How'd you see it?
I'm not sure if either of you two have seen fit to throw a boot around the footy field, but Grian did it to Rowan Marshall, of course, the second quarter down at GMHBA Stadium. Now, the umpire stopped the play, ordered the ball back to the boundary umpire who was throwing in at the time, and then firmly instructed Marshall to get his shoe back on. But should he have also penalised Myers and paid a free kick? Because history says he should have. Charlie Cameron was at the Gabba in 2022. He piffed a shoe, was penalised. Jeremy Cameron was actually paid a 50-metre penalty against when he threw a shoe a few years ago when he was playing for GWS. I reckon the umpire missed a trick here. I think it should have been a free kick paid to the Saints.
Yeah, I haven't read the rule book and what it states in relation to throwing personal equipment on the field, but if that's the case and there's four umpires out there, maybe they missed one. Speaking of umpiring decisions, I thought the most debated decision was the Dangerfield Stocker contact below the knees one on Saturday night. Was it the right call, Sammy?
Oh, these ones are so hard, aren't they, to judge? I think so, Kane, but I mean, I'm flipping a coin there because these ones are always debated and for good reason, I think. I think we can tip too far the other way, can't we? And the reason the rule that was brought in is admirable. But I think when you start to really take away from the player winning the ball and making the ball his priority at the expense of a player potentially second to it, then we've got a problem. But we're splitting hairs, I think. What did you think?
Well, he's an experienced player who allowed himself to run into that contact and dropped a knee in the process, mind you, to draw the free kick.
You thought he milked it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What was Liam Stocker expected to do in that instance? Like pull out of the contest, not go to the contest? Well, keep his feet would be the question, but all he was doing was tapping it to a teammate who was in a better position.
It's not in the spirit of the way that the rule should be adjudicated.
And so Stocker's out of the game for the rest of the game.
Yeah, the rule came in for, I think Adam Goods was doing, sliding in with your knees.
Gary Rowan.
To play his lower to lower legs. Now, that was a player with his focus solely on the football, and I think you're right, Bucks. I think Dangerfield is smart, and I think he milked the free kick, and no one likes to see players taking advantage of a rule like that. Hey, you got some contract news out of the Western Bulldogs?
Yeah, Tom Liberatore closing in quickly on another contract extension out there, Kane. He's poised to sign a one-year deal, so that'll carry him through until the end of the 2025 season. He did, this time last year, sign a 12-month extension as well. Closing in on 32 years of age now. He started his 13th season. Well, he was excellent yesterday, wasn't he, in a losing side. The vice-captain this year, so 9 years from his last formal leadership role at the Witten Oval. So the resume is glittering. He just keeps signing these one-year contract extensions, and they need a few more of him out there at the moment.
Mm. You reckon McRae's gettable, Sammy? Like I know there's injury, but clearly he's out of favour with the voting in the leadership group, not vice captain anymore. What is it, 2026 or 7 that his contract runs to? I think there's a couple of clubs that would be interested there, wouldn't they?
Yeah, maybe. Signed a big contract. Now, this is just me speculating. I haven't asked the question. I'd be really surprised. I think he's a one-clubber. Bailey Smith, I'd say he's definitely going to be on the move. Again, just speculating. I'd be reluctant to think that the Dogs would have allowed Jack McRae to go. And also, not sure Jack McRae, albeit with the disappointment that you mentioned being removed from the leadership, would seek a move. I think he'll be back in the side at the next time of asking. And, I can't see him moving in the off-season.
Mm. All right. Now, a lot happening in Tassie today with a big announcement.
Yeah, we'll be on air tonight, won't we, on Sports Day, of course, for this announcement when the identity of the Tasmanian Football Club is known. Certainly by the Devils, you'd think. Hopefully the strip is close to the iconic Tasmanian strip that we've seen over the journey as well. But the colours, the logo, the name, everything going to be revealed today across the country. The countless live sites down there. There's an event at Marvel Stadium as well. Streams begin at 5:45 Eastern time today on the AFL website. So history-making announcement for Tassie, and now we just need the election to play ball next weekend.
All right, speaking of Tassie, finally, the NBL, they were a bit disappointing, the Jack Jumpers.
Oh, they got smacked around, didn't they? 104-81. Gee, the NBL and Melbourne United as well, in the case of yesterday, put on a great show. Game one, great entertainment. Took the family along, boys. We had a ball down there. Game two, Hobart, Friday. Game three, returns to John Cain Arena. Might well be the one where United look to secure another title under Dean Vickham, and that's Sunday afternoon. So 1-0 United, best of five-game series, of course, in the NBL.
The best to do it. SEN's chief reporter, thanks to Club Tokemoor on the Murray, your next golfing holiday. You'll hear him across the SEN network right throughout the day. Sammy, thanks for your time.
Thanks, lads.